Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fox?
Into the final hour of our broadcast wake. Welcome to our top stories this hour. To the big lead, we come to you from the Carter Subaru studio. And you know what we're going to be doing in a few minutes? Giving you a chance to win some Seahawks tickets. Hottest ticket in town. Let's get to the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So, we have our Blue Friday code word for your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks host the Ravens on October 20th. And, of course, single game tickets to watch the Seahawks play at CenturyLink Field are still available for games in November and December. Get your seats right now at Seahawks.com/tickets. But I'm going to give you the code word right now. It is turnover. Okay, turnover. So here's what you do. Go to mynorthwest.com/win and enter the code word turnover. And you have to do it before the end of my show this afternoon because you are only competing against fellow Dory Monson Show listeners. Every show has their own pair of tickets to give away. So your chances of winning are much, much better. So go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the code word turnover before 3 o'clock, and you will be entered to win to see the Seahawks play the Ravens on October 20th. Okay? Go do that right now. MyNorthwest.com/win. Let's continue with the big lead.
The big lead. Big local.
Actually, I goofed up, Sean. It's national. My bad. Last night, the CNN hosted in all the Democrat or most of the Democrat presidential candidates in an LGBTQ town hall. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was at the Target Center in Minneapolis with 20,000 people packing the arena and a reported 20,000 outside who couldn't get in. And they were having viewing parties. And there was also a violent mob of leftists in Minneapolis that were attacking people as they left the arena. But I don't know if I have ever seen a clearer contrast for America coming up in about 13 months, when we go to vote for president. Because regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, I just wonder, when people see the insanity at the CNN town hall with all the Democrat candidates, it was just unbelievable. Let me play you a little bit. So here was what Donald Trump was saying last night in Minneapolis at his rally.
The Republican Party is the party of the American worker, the American family, and it's the party of the American dream.
Okay. It's a very hopeful message. And now today, it sounds like we've got a trade deal with China after decades of the commies running roughshod over America and Americans. So that was kind of the message, the theme. At the CNN Democrat town hall, It was a different version of America. So they had this person get up, and her name is S-H-E-A. And now, this is what she said to the CNN host.
Secretary Castro, I want to bring in Shay Diamond, a singer-songwriter from Los Angeles. She currently supports Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Shay, what's your question?
It's Shea Diamond.
Shea Diamond.
Put that on record.
Okay. It's on the record. Thank you.
Yes, honey. It's violence to misgender or to alter a name of a trans person. So let's always get that right first.
Violence. Pronouncing S-H-E-A, Shay, is an act of violence in that version of America. Donald Trump in Minneapolis.
We will enact trade deals that ensure more products are proudly stamped with that beautiful phrase, made in the USA. We will achieve new breakthroughs in science and medicine, finding new cures for childhood cancer and ending the AIDS epidemic in America within 10 years. Nobody thought that could be done.
Okay. That was Trump's message last night, part of his message. At the CNN town hall, how about Robert O'Rourke? His friends call him Beto.
Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes.
Really? So every Catholic college and university, every mosque, every people who have a version of faith that believes marriage is one man, one woman, Beto O'Rourke would engage in the absolutely unconstitutional litmus test that you have to think as we demand. You stupid people of faith, the government will tell you what to think. Not your Bible, not your Quran. The government will tell you how to view these things. It is an absolutely, and Beto O'Rourke, you know, he absolutely will take away your guns. The government will tell you what you must believe in your house of worship, and they will hold you hostage. And, I mean, this is the most fundamental, the reason that America was created was to escape religious persecution by government. That is why that is part of the First Amendment. And Beto O'Rourke is now going to say government is going to tell religions how they must believe. Trump in Minneapolis.
There's nothing that the dirty political establishment hates more than a president that they cannot intimidate, own, and control. They're trying to stop me because they know that I don't answer to them. I answer to you. It's true.
The CNN town hall, Elizabeth Warren, what do you think tax money? You know, our hard-earned money, we go to work every day, we collect a paycheck. What do you think government should take our tax money and do with it?
In the 2012 campaign for Senate, you criticized a judge's ruling that granted transition-related surgery to a transgender inmate. You said, I don't think it's a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Do you regret that?
Yep. No, it's a bad answer. And I think it was a bad answer. And I believe that everyone is entitled to medical care and medical care that they need. And that includes people who are transgender, who it is the time for them to have gender-affirming surgery. I just think that's important, and the appropriate medical care.
So if you are a murderer in prison for life without the possibility of parole, if you are a child rapist in prison for life, if you are a rapist of adults, Elizabeth Warren thinks that you and I should pay for transition surgery for even lifetime inmates in prison. I've never seen, it was a freak show, and I'm not talking about the people in the audience. I'm talking about the presidential candidates on the Democrat side. Beto O'Rourke's going to violate the First Amendment, and he'll get a cabinet position. He'll be part of an administration if they win. He's going to take away your guns. He's going to take away churches' rights to believe as they follow their Bible or their Quran. Cory Booker, who sounded among the most reasonable, he was insane last night.
With the rise of violence against trans women of color, how will you ensure that law enforcement is equipped to treat marginalized victims of crime with dignity and respect?
So first of all, very clearly, it is a national emergency. The majority of the terrorist attacks in this country.
And I should tell you, the person who asked the question was at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando when 49 people were mowed down. And that was the hook for his question to Cory Booker.
Country since 9/11 have been right-wing extremist groups. The majority of them have been white supremacist and hate groups.
Okay, the guy was specifically asking about the Pulse nightclub shooting. And Cory Booker says, it's mostly white supremacists and hate groups. The Pulse nightclub shooter, I don't say the names of mass murders, but he was a Muslim extremist with ties to ISIS. And Cory Booker somehow turned that into right-wing extremism. No, it wasn't. It was a Muslim extremist. But you can't even say that. You can't. If you're a Democrat, you don't dare say that. The insanity just continued. Let's go back to Liz Warren.
Let's say you're on the campaign trail and you're approached. You have been. Yes. And a supporter approaches you and says, "Senator, I am old-fashioned, and my faith teaches me that marriage is between one man and one woman." What is your response?
Well, I'm going to assume it's a guy who said that. And I'm going to say, then just marry one woman. I'm cool with that. Assuming you can find one.
I'm sorry. That's what a piggish answer. So no women of faith believe in one man, one woman marriage, according to her. She said, I assume it was a man, and you can't find, you won't be able to find a woman to marry. Right, because what woman would want somebody with some fundamental Christian beliefs? What an absolute slam on people of faith by Elizabeth Warren. That all the people in America who, and there are entire states, you know, where they've affirmed marriages between one man and one woman. And apparently she's the front runner now. Apparently she's going to give up all those states. They were using children as props again, as always happens.
Jacob is an elementary school student from Massachusetts, likes to play hockey. Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. Uh-huh. My question is...
All right, Jacob. Hold on.
Always using children. This was maybe the more interesting moment of the night for the Dems.
I'm going to take a moment before I ask my question to validate the pain of our transgender siblings that demonstrated earlier and that have spoken up today.
Okay, so one woman's got the mic, and all of a sudden another person comes from the top of the audience, comes walking down the stairs, and grabs the microphone away from the woman who was about to ask a question.
Especially black trans women.
I'm so sorry. I don't want to take this away from you, but let me tell you something. Black trans women are being killed in this country, and CNN, you have erased black trans women for the last time. Let me tell you something. Black trans women are dying. Our lives matter. I am an extraordinary black trans woman, and I deserve to be here. My black trans sisters that are here, I am tired. I am so tired of just seeing this. And it's not just my black trans women.
Ma'am.
It's my black trans brothers, too. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
No, I'm going to let you come here. No, no, I just want to ask you something. Come here. Tell me. Come here. I want you to talk. What's your name?
I'm Blossom C. Brown.
Blossom, let me ask
you. Google me.
Blossom.
Please Google me.
Blossom, thank you. Let me tell you something.
And the pandering by Don Lemon. This woman's mentally unhinged, or this person is completely mentally unhinged. And he takes the microphone from the person, then he gives it back to the person.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, we can't hear you. Blossom, we can't hear you. Here, Blossom, we can't hear you.
Baby, your actions have to speak louder than words, because guess what? Not one black trans woman has taken the mic tonight. Not one black trans man has taken the mic tonight.
Yeah.
Show me.
You Blossom.
Show me.
Blossom. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Blossom, you're a black trans woman. You have the mic in your hand. I've taken and given it back to you. We want to hear from you. We have had trans people.
Because it's CNN, we pander. That's what we do. On the left. That's what all the Dem candidates do. We pander.
People of color. We've had all people here. And you're welcome. But we are proud and happy that you're here. We're proud and happy that you're here. Yes, but remember, we're on our time constraint. All right.
Yeah, okay. So it was an incredible study in contrast between these Democrats who, the candidates, embrace freak show positions. Surgery, trans surgery for murderers and child rapists. For taking away religious freedom in America, literally, to violate the First Amendment. Trotting out, I like this. Chris Cuomo had to apologize for this when Kamala Harris walked out.
Good to see you, Senator. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you? Anna, thank you, guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine too.
Chris Cuomo, mine too. And now he said to apologize for trivializing the importance of stating your pronouns, and should never have joked about that. You're using children as props, mispronouncing Shia as Shay is an act of violence in their version of America, as all the candidates were ponderously nodding along and agreeing with everybody at the microphone. It was something else. Yeah. We got a choice to make next year. And again, I don't care if you like Donald Trump personally or not. This China trade news today is potentially gigantic. But as I said a few days ago, I see him as the last backstop against the insanity of the leftist candidates. That's not an America that I think most people would recognize, where government will tell churches what they must think. Your guns are taken away. Mispronouncing someone's name is an act of violence. We got a decision to make. Okay, one more time. Our Seahawks code word. You can enter before the end of the hour. Go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter today's code word, turnover. And one of my listeners will win a pair of tickets. You got to enter before 3 o'clock this afternoon. MyNorthwest.com/win. Enter the code word, turnover. And you'll be in the drawing for a pair of Seahawks tickets against the Baltimore Ravens. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the notes, and then we'll come down to our best sound bites of the entire week next. I'm not dancing very well today, am I?
You look like you're wincing in pain.
Oh, man. I love Friday afternoons. Because it is when we get to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
Once again, if you want a chance to win Seahawks tickets, go to mynorthwest.com/win and enter our code word for this afternoon, turnover. Turnover, one word. And one winner will get a pair of tickets to the Seahawks-Ravens game coming up on October 20th. And you got to do it before 3 o'clock. MyNorthwest.com/win Enter turnover. Okay, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the week here. Let me scroll to the top. At number three, Nancy Pelosi. There's this fantasy on MSNBC that if they impeach Mike Pence, and I don't know what he's done that's impeachable, and Donald Trump, and frankly, he hasn't done anything that's impeachable, but then Nancy Pelosi could become president. And I think that sounds exciting.
Number three.
In the Rose Garden, with all this sort of visuals that obviously were planned long before I said, most currently, that he was engaged in a cover-up. So it's really sad. And here's the thing.
What was the thing?
And I told this to the room when he came in and made that statement, and then he walked out, and you got the Secretary of the Treasury, and all the this, that, and the other thing, and a distinguished group of members from the House and Senate.
Diagram that sentence for me, can you, please? At number two, one of the great bits of trolling when AOC was at some community forum and a woman got up, young woman, she looked like she was early 20s, and this was just a fantastic bit of trolling.
Number two.
I'm going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you.
And so she takes off the overshirt, and the T-shirt underneath says, save the planet, eat the children. And AOC is looking at her and kind of nodding, again, with a very serious look, because this woman who's goofing on her isn't any crazier than most of her other supporters.
You're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem.
Oh, this is just beautiful. At number one, I'll go into this more in the Today's Sign segment, but Wednesday's show was just crazy. The trailer that had been pulled in front of Lisa Herbold's house. Again, we're on the front page of the Seattle Times today. The trailer is spray-painted with Dory for Gov and Vote Dory. And the young couple that owns the trailer, they were in the studio with me yesterday, and they thought the whole thing was hilarious. And I gave them some money myself to clean the trailer, because I didn't want my listener who spray-painted it to have to clean it. I didn't want him to have to pay out of pocket. I certainly didn't want the couple that owns the trailer to be out of pocket. So I made sure that I did that. But they just had a great sense of humor about the whole thing.
Number one.
I appreciate your attitude about this. That, I mean, you seem to understand the irony and the exquisite, delicious, just unbelievable odds of you parking it in front of a Seattle City Council member's house.
Yeah, that's, like I said, we should probably be heading to Las Vegas next.
No, hey, that $100 is for baby food there.
Okay.
I also do like how on the side of our camper it says Vote Dory, and the person that graffitied it, it looks really nice. I might have to keep it.
So wait a second. Yes. If you plant that in Kitsap County, I got a lot of fans over there.
Okay.
Yeah. Your house will become a tourist destination.
I hope.
If you keep the Dory for president on the side.
Will do.
And look, the reason this whole thing blew up as big as it did and is on the front page of the Times today and all that is because it did illustrate how fed up everyone is here with the RV drug vagrant crisis.
We've shouted from the mountaintop, passion like a burning flame. Tired of all the RVs and drugs, the city council is to blame. We we've had it. Like Dory, we've had it. All the garbage, all the mire, you're on fire. It's coming to your neighborhood. Know that it might make you mad. When I think about the way Seattle was, today it makes me sad. We've had it, like Dory, we've had it.
My thanks to listener Dave Irish, who penned and performed that song for us. Really appreciate it. Today's sign, the end is near, is now. And down the stretch we come. What a week. What a show, what a show, what a week. It's been crazy. And I love you. Again. Through all the craziness of this trailer at Councilmember Lisa Herbold's house and then all the other exclusives you provided us again this week, thank you for all of that. It's been quite the scene. So again, check out the front page of the Seattle Times where the photo of the Dory for Gov and Vote Dory painted on the trailer is prominently featured above the fold on the front page. So I bought a hard copy of the Times for the first time in decades today. You know, to show to the grandkids. Here's my crowning achievement. Okay, before I get out of here for a little short weekend, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Peoria, Arizona. A pitcher for the San Diego Padres, Jacob Nix. He had been out drinking. He took an Uber, and the Uber dropped him off at 3 a.m. Jacob apparently didn't really know where he was because a man inside of a home, they heard a noise at 3:30 a.m. of somebody at the doggy door in the bedroom. And so the man told his wife to grab a flashlight and grab his gun. And the wife couldn't find the gun, so she gave her husband a taser instead. The husband went. There was a guy halfway through the doggy door. It was San Diego Padres pitcher Jacob Nix. So the homeowner kicked Nix in the head and then tased him. And they called police. Now, I'm telling you, the only reason this Major League Baseball player is still alive is because the wife couldn't find the gun. Because I'm sure they would have had cause to shoot him halfway through the doggy door. And the ironic part about this, Nick said, "This is my fault. I can't blame alcohol, but I was inebriated." He says he does not remember getting into the family's backyard. He had dropped his phone inside the home and verified to police who he was when he was booked into jail. Here's the ironic part about this. One of my best friends played for the San Diego Padres, or his son played for the San Diego Padres last year, and he was roommates for a couple of months with Jacob Nix. And I'm told that Jacob Nix is known as a really good guy, but being blackout drunk, he could have easily gotten himself shot and killed that night. But instead, he's been released on minimal bond. And I think the man has controlled the drinking a little bit, though. Okay, and then also in today's sign.
Well, if I could walk on water, and if I could find some way to prove, if I could walk on water, would you believe in me? My love is so true. Na, 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 na,
na. Oh, Eddie Money, we just lost him a few weeks ago. I mentioned when my wife and I went to the Bob Seger concert at the Tacoma Dome a couple of weeks ago, they did a photo montage of rock stars we've lost recently. And when the Eddie Money one, when his picture went up, I got really emotional because I just loved having him on the radio show, and he was a great guest, and it made me sad. But his song, Walk on Water, so I'm closing out the week because Nike has a pair of what are called Jesus shoes. This is so sick and wrong, man. So they sourced holy water from the River Jordan. It was blessed by a priest in Brooklyn. And then they put that water in the soles of this sneaker. They called it Jesus Shoes. They went on sale Tuesday for $1,425. They sold the one pair. Sold within 1 minute. The guy who bought them for $1,400, he has now listed the Jesus shoes on a resale website for $4,000. Again, because they put a little water from the River Jordan in the soles, but how sacrilegious to do that. What priest participated in this? And who would buy it for $1,400 or $4,000 or whatever they end up going for when the final transaction happens? But with them, you could literally walk on water. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I want to thank Seahawks coach Pete Carroll for coming on with us this afternoon from 12:30 to 1. If you didn't hear it, go check out the podcast. If you missed any of our shows this week, especially the Wednesday show, Wednesday was one of the craziest broadcasts I've ever had. And if you missed anything, go to MyNorthwest.com, Dory Monson show page, you'll find my podcast, and get all caught up. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Here's what we got going on. Seahawks and the Cleveland Browns. It's an East Coast game, 10 o'clock kickoff Sunday morning. That means I'm going to be on the air with all of my pregame co-hosts at 7 a.m. Sunday. So get up early. Get ready for the Seahawks game while listening to your buddies on the Seahawks pregame show. And then we'll have the game for you, of course. 10 o'clock kickoff here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. I hope you do have a fantastic weekend. I will see you Sunday morning for Seahawks football. And I will see you back here Monday, high noon. Later.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.